Welcome to the Relationship and Wellness Podcast with Nicola Beer. Nicola runs transformational breakthrough programs for individuals and couples and has several award-winning audio programs. For details, visit www.nicolabeer.com today. Please note, places are limited and are available on first-come, first-served basis.
Hi and welcome. This is Nicola Beer. Today I'm going to be talking about discovering that your partner has cheated on you more than once. Whether you found out all the information in a relatively short period of time that there's been multiple cheating, or that you discovered they cheated some time ago, worked on that, repaired the relationship, and then you found out that they've cheated on you again. They've broken their promises. The trauma, the hurt, the pain that so many people go through when they find out their partner has cheated on them for the first time is often unbearable. And then when that happens again, it can be even more shattering. One person that I worked with described that they felt like they'd been hit by a truck, that they've completely lost themselves. Some parts of this podcast are repetitive, and I've deliberately done that because I really want this to help you. If you're considering one-to-one support, then you can find details about working with me on my website, the prices. You can also email me for information, and there's the outline of my couples program and my breakthrough program for individuals. And if you're looking for some free support for people that are going through similar things, then do join the Facebook group. The links will be put along with this show. So why is it so devastating finding out that there's been multiple accounts of cheating? Often it's because all the hope for a happy relationship goes completely. Often people feel like a fool. They attack and criticize themselves, and they feel very angry and resentful, and they just don't know how to let go of that explosive host of emotions that they experience. Thoughts, feelings, and the body reactions. In my experience, working with over 7,000 couples where an affair has taken place, people can tend to forgive a cheating mistake and the lies if it was the first time. Often a person can put it down to the stressful times that they were going through, or a rocky patch in the relationship, or justify it in their head saying, you know, it's so out of character for them. They've made a mistake. I'm going to forgive that mistake. Recovery is easier when the cheater also gives a heartfelt apology, seems genuinely remorseful, takes actions to rebuild the trust, gives really heartfelt reassurances, reassures their partner that they are there for them, that they are sorry, that it will not happen again. Second chances are often given in these circumstances, and the couple move forward with some support to take their relationship to an even stronger place. Some are able to move on after the initial painful up and down roller coaster of the first 3 months, when they actively work on releasing their resentment and anger, coming up with solutions and actions as a couple to really make sure that their relationship becomes stronger from it. And I also help many people who really want to let go of the fear that they're going to be cheated on again, the anxiety that they have when their partner goes out, or the obsessive thoughts about them meeting someone at work or meeting someone out or not trusting what they say. And I help them to let go of the fears and let go of the hurt, because fear and anxiety can be really difficult to put out of someone's mind after being cheated on. And it really needs retraining the thoughts into more positive. And the good thing is that thoughts can be changed, beliefs can be changed. But when someone finds out that their partner has cheated again for the second or third or fourth time, letting go becomes so much harder. It's the same when someone has asked their partner for the full truth after finding out about one cheating incident and they're promised, that's everything, I've told you everything, there's nothing else, I promise you there's nothing else you don't know, this is it, and then they find out more. And they've been lied to when they asked for full honesty several times, they've been lied to again. Finding out that cheating and lying has happened multiple times can really knock people for six. Many say that they feel broken, like their heart, mind, and body has been severed into thousands of little pieces. They can't sleep properly, think clearly, or stomach anything. Small tasks seem so big, and sadly, others have panic attacks where they feel like they can't breathe, where they feel suffocated. And often, because our heart has cells connected to our brain, people can really feel like a heavy heart, heart pain, chest pain as well. And they find that their mind hangs on to everything. It's bringing up pictures that they've seen, images that they've seen, images that they've created in their head from the stories or from the messages. They're replaying the words that their partner has said. They question everything. All the time that the couple had apart, they're wondering, were they cheating them? What were they doing? When they go out to a restaurant, they're looking and thinking, is that man cheating on her? Is that person cheating on him? And it can be so obsessive. And it can get to the point where people don't recognize themselves anymore. And whilst most people will go through those huge emotional, draining experiences, some experience a numbness. They feel nothing. They find it hard to understand why they feel nothing. They feel like they don't care. They don't feel anything towards them. And our psyche has the ability to numb as a defense mechanism. And for some people, going through the pain of discovering the cheating and what that might mean for the person, any children involved, their finances, their future, how society views them. It could be all too painful for that person to face that their mind or the psyche kicks in and says, okay, you're not going to feel anything. It's too dangerous for you to feel anything. So I'm just going to numb you. And obviously it's unconscious. You're not choosing it and you just feel numb. And often people describe feeling like an observer of their own life. They are there, but they're not really there. One lady described it to me that she felt like a ghost walking around in her own life, not really engaged. For some, the shattering, it really does shatter people. For some, this shattering experience is so overwhelming that they don't want to get out of bed. They don't want to carry on. They don't want to have any small talk with anybody. They don't want to sometimes exist. They may have suicidal thoughts, thinking that it's too much and life isn't worth living. This is natural and normal. It passes by itself normally in a few days. Talking to someone can really benefit to get those dark thoughts out of the head. If the darkness is staying with you, if it's really got you to a point where you're feeling, I'm not sure that life is worth living some days, or you feel you just want to sleep and not wake up, you don't want to face the reality, then I would definitely recommend you reaching out for help from a specialist, someone you trust, if these thoughts and feelings stay longer than a few days to a week. The next phase after the shock and the shattering phase is the strong emotions. Feeling really angry, sad, disappointed, confused, and really doubting yourself, the relationship, reality. It's the internal questioning that really can suck the energy and the life out of you. And whilst people know this, the mind does not stop. Often it asks these questions that can leave people feeling really exhausted. The questions may be something like, how can someone live a double life? How could he not think of us and our children when doing it? How could she do this to me after all I've done for her? How long has this really been going on? Why have they done this when we have a great sex life? Did they ever love me, or is this whole relationship a lie? How could they be so two-faced? How come they can sleep at night and I can't after discovering this affair? How can they cheat when the thought of cheating on them makes me feel sick and disgusting? How could they do it at a time when I was going through so much, such a hard time myself? How could they do that to me in that time? There are so many questions. I could fill this whole podcast with them. But these are some of the most common questions that people ask themselves. Most people, for their own sanity and trying to control these thoughts, focus on putting a full timeline together on where they were that day, check for messages on that day, what was happening. They may go through financial and credit card statements, like bank statements, credit card statements, phone records. They may trawl through social media accounts, phones, WhatsApp messages, emails, their husband's or wife's pockets, work bags, look at all the photos that they've got, look at the trash bin, recover from the deleted items. They look at the locations that their partner has visited to piece together what exactly has happened and to see whether this supports what they've been told. It can be a really awful for people that find out that the cheating took place when they were going through difficult life events themselves. For example, looking after an elderly parent, grieving the loss of a family member, they were unemployed, they were in hospital or unwell, they were pregnant or raising a newborn. In a way, it's a double betrayal because it's a double abandonment. You needed them, and not only were they not there for you, they were focused on someone else or with someone else. So it really damages a person's sense of worth. And it's also not easy for people to find out that their partner was cheating on them through happy times. I've had people cry their heart out when they discover that their partner was celebrating family birthdays, wedding anniversaries, fun family vacations, and texting someone else at the same time of a romantic or sexual nature. Others are mortified when they feel like their sex life was the best it's ever been and wonder, is our sex life good because this other person has influenced it? Or people think, well, if we were in such a good place and you still cheat, what are you going to do if we go through a difficult place? And they feel totally confused, feeling like, I've given everything. I can't give anymore. And I just don't get what they want from me. I have nothing more to give. The hardest question for most people is how could their partner lead two parallel lives at once? How could they go from me to them and not feel terrible? How could they keep lying to me, deceiving me? And it's so hard for people to answer that. Many men and women that have cheated and are faced with this question often reply, I don't know. I didn't think about it. No, I didn't even consider the consequences, which offers very little comfort. To really help a person that's been cheated on to heal, to really help them to trust again, a person must look at the cause of why they cheated. They must have an answer to ensure that they're going to take the steps so it doesn't happen again. I've been working with people for the past 20 years and I've studied so many aspects about the trauma and how that affects people and mind and memory. And my only explanation that I can give to why a person doesn't think of the consequences, how they can live a double life, is because let's say that a person goes through a car accident or has another kind of accident or something terrible happens to them, abusive happens to them, the mind can just blank out memories. I've worked with many people that don't remember their childhood until they start working with me, and only when they feel safe, some of the memories start to come back. I believe that because our mind can block out and blank out as a way of protecting us to not remember painful things that have happened to us, I believe that during cheating, a person is protected by their mind by compartmentalizing the two into separate categories. Very rarely do the cheaters that I work with think about the two things at once. Those that experience guilt during the process of cheating often stop. Those that don't, it's because their mind is not allowing them to think of both things at once, because it may destroy the view that they have of themselves, of being a good, loyal, trustworthy, decent person. So because of that, their mind may not allow them to remember the two things at once. Their ego also may say messages to the person that's cheated that it's no big deal, you're not doing any harm, what they don't know won't hurt them, I'll stop soon, or everybody cheats. And these kind of excuses that the ego, the entitled ego, gives can minimize the cheating in their mind, and so that they convince themselves that it's no big deal, and they again block out the reality of the pain that cheating causes. Because the reality is, being cheated on can cause a traumatic response in a person's body. Trauma is where a person experiences a contraction in their body. They disconnect from their body and go into a completely different state of self, often into their head, and they're unable to be in the present moment. So it's traumatizing when someone is then going over the past, going, I'm worrying about the future. They're robbed of enjoying life and living in the present moment. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody that's cheated on will experience trauma. Some may feel hurt and angry, but do not feel a contraction in the body. These people suffer greatly. They're not traumatized by it because it doesn't have that physiological response. And when someone does have that response, they can have a huge amount of cortisol, stress pumped through their body. They can feel panicked. They can feel their heart going. They can feel weak, consumed. And it's not the event, whether it's reading explicit sex messages, seeing naked photos, walking in on a partner having sex, finding sex videos on their phone. It's not that that traumatizes people. It's traumatic based on whether you disconnect with your physical body, whether you disconnect with yourself, whether you are robbed of in being in the present moment. When a person's body goes into a state of shock, the body goes into a high state of stress, alertness, hypervigilance. And this is where people are hyper aware of everything. They cannot relax. Their body is in such a high stress state because they're scanning. They're scanning for the truth. They're scanning if there's any more lies. They're scanning their whole world, their whole relationship. And this happens because the person feels threatened and unsafe, which then physically, emotionally, and mentally drains a person. And I'm highlighting this point because it doesn't matter whether it's micro-cheating or a full-blown physical affair. When a person's body contracts, when they go into that high state of stress, hypervigilance, alertness, fear, their whole nervous system needs to be calmed, that those emotions need to be released from the body. Many people find that the cheating awakens other traumas of being abandoned, rejected, being left or feeling unwanted, of not being good enough, Perhaps if a parent is very busy with their work, very busy with another sibling, their parents divorce, they felt unwanted or not liked in early childhood, or through other relationships, they have that feeling of not being appreciated, valued. The traumatic response can be very intense. So what do people do when they feel traumatized, when they've been cheated on? One of the most typical responses is to withdraw. People withdraw from the relationship because they never want to be as vulnerable again. This typical coping mechanism many of us used as children when hurt by other children at school or our parents. It's where you make a vow to yourself, never again will I allow myself to be that vulnerable. Never again will I allow myself to be that hurt. And they retreat. A wall comes up and intimacy is blocked. And whilst this is a common coping mechanism, it's not helpful or effective for the relationship to work out long term. As if a person is withdrawn in the relationship, the connection will remain strained. It's a process the person cheated on with the person who cheated need to work through together to build safety, trust, connection, and then intimacy again. Often the partner on the receiving end of this anger and withdrawal perceives it as a punishment, believing that their partner is putting them down or holding back affection to hurt and annoy them. And this isn't true. It may seem like that, but that isn't true. It's an adaptive response to being hurt. And so it's so important that the person that has cheated has patience, is willing to continue to reassure their partner that they're taking steps to make lasting changes, to be truthful, honest, and loving. So what is trauma? Well, there are several hallmarks of trauma that Dr. Gabor Maté, a world-renowned trauma expert, identifies. The first is it's not just the bad things that happen to you, it's also the absence of good things that should have happened to you. So it's not just what happened, it's also what didn't happen. In the context of an affair, it could be the absence of effort and love shown in the relationship that was missing. It could be the lying, the deceit, the denial, the lack of empathy, lack of patience, compassion after the affair that can cause a traumatic response. As mentioned before, it's not the event that happens, but it's what happens to the individual, what happens inside the individual as a result of the external event. So it happens in the body, the feelings, the emotions, and it also happens on the level of the psyche. Ultimately, it causes a disconnect from the person to their real self, listening to their gut instinct, being in tune with themselves. And if the affair has caused trauma to you, it's highly likely that you may question your value as a partner, as a person, that your physical body will be affected, perhaps lack of appetite, poor sleep, difficulty in breathing, difficulty in concentrating, and stomach-related issues. Your feelings and emotions may swing from anger, confusion, hurt, disappointment, sometimes loneliness, sometimes shame, feeling that you're not good enough. Trauma also shapes your view of the world, causing a constriction, as I mentioned. And what I mean by a constriction is that you may see marriage, relationship, men, women, sex in a different way. You may be walking down the street and see a couple and wonder, are they really in love or is that an affair partner? Some view themselves as naive, stupid, as a fool. As I mentioned, and this is an example how trauma can affect the view of oneself, world, and relationships. Often people struggle to know what to do about their relationship because their gut feeling may be to give it a chance to see the good in their partner and they want to forgive, and yet their mind is saying no. So they don't listen to their body, they don't listen to their gut intuition, and this can cause an unsettling in the person. it's always important to be connected with our heart, with our gut, and our mind. Ideally, when they're all working together as one, that's when we thrive in our lives. It could also be the opposite reaction. The heart and the gut is saying, leave, get out of this relationship. But then the mind is saying, but what about the children? Or what about my financial situation? Or what if I'm going to be alone? Or what about the pain and the public image of getting a divorce? How will I handle that? So it's the mind that is, again, overriding the gut and the heart intuition. Trauma makes it really difficult for a person to be in the present moment. And it's so hard to enjoy life because all we can ever enjoy in life is the present. So if you're worried about the past or your future, tripping about what may or may not happen, you will not feel that pure pleasure of being a human being. And as trauma causes a constriction within us, unless healed properly, the relationship and the person's natural growth process can be stunted. And this can leave the couple to constantly feel on edge, that they're not going anywhere, that something is missing. Trauma also affects the capacity to regulate our responses to the present moment. The part of the brain called the midfrontal cortex is responsible for us having a flexible response to various situations, which means when an external trigger occurs, we can be flexible in our responses according to what is needed. We can choose A, B, C, D, E as a way of responding to something that happens. However, the trauma can restrict us to a set of predictable ways, automatic ways of responding to situations. It might be a fear reaction, anxiety, an anger reaction, a hiding reaction, a running away reaction, a shutting down reaction. The more traumatized the person, the more limited, restricted, and the more stereotyped those reactions will be. So if you have been having huge angry outbursts, huge amount of fear and anxiety, wanting to cut yourself off and isolate from the rest of the world, this is normal. It's highly likely that you have been traumatized. And just to recap, you've been traumatized not when you feel pain, but when after the trauma, you're more limited in your view and capacities to respond than you were before. And why am I sharing this? Because I want you to know how important it is to be kind to yourself, to be patient with yourself. You may snap at your children if you have children. You may fall a little bit behind with work or exercise. Be kind to yourself. It's also so important to get the right help. I focus not only looking at the pain of an affair, but also the traumatic effects that it can bring into a person's body, into a person's emotions and feelings, and their view of the world. A lot of people will create very negative decisions about themselves, about life, about relationships, about what's going to happen in the future that I clear through my breakthrough program. All of those things need to be healed and released. I also noticed that it is often traumatized people that cheat. They have had their view of themselves, the world, challenged in the past. And it's also behind many addictive behaviors. Addiction is an attempt to regulate oneself to get an unpleasant feeling out of the way, to get rid of an unpleasant feeling and replace it with a pleasant one, to regulate the nervous system. Secondary behaviours that follow addictions are lying, cheating, betraying everything and everybody. So if someone is really trying to get rid of their unpleasant feelings, whether it's insecurity, low self-esteem, not feeling good enough in whatever area of life, they turn to an addiction, and that addiction then creates these patterns of lying and cheating, and it can lead to an affair. So this is just an example that even an addiction is an adaptation as a way to cope. And trauma changes our nervous system. And that is why it's so important that when a couple come to me for affair recovery, that I work with them both individually to clear out their past trauma. When we're traumatized, we're in fight or flight mode. We're in freeze mode, we disassociate. And any of these may be associated in the body with stomach upsets, breathing problems, other physical symptoms. I could go into a lot more detail about the different illnesses that traumatic responses can create. However, I'll do another podcast on trauma coming up. Trauma also distorts our relationships. It can cause us to seek relationships with people who rescue us from ourselves. And you may be very upset if they don't rescue you, or you'll look for someone else to rescue you and take care of you. You might seek a relationship unwillingly where you reenact all the trauma that you've experienced because that's now what you think is normal. So you'll attract somebody or be interested in somebody who reminds you of one of the people in your life, one of your parents maybe, or another important figure in your childhood that traumatized you because that's what you know. And that's why it is so important to do that individual work to make sure that you are really not going to repeat the same patterns, that you really are going to have a relationship future that is right, loving, and good for you. And I want to talk about vicarious trauma here. Vicarious trauma is where a person is traumatized by what happened to somebody else. Dr. Gabor says that there is no such thing as vicarious trauma. What he means by that is when people witness or hear stories of what's happened to another person, let's say you see your parents have struggles in marriage, you see your parents having an affair, your parents' marriage breaks down because someone's cheated on each other, that wound will be activated in you. So that trauma can actually happen in you. And this is what I am finding when I'm helping people to recover after their partner has cheated on them, or when people come to me with a cheating addiction and say, I really want to stop this cheating addiction, Nicola. I realize that they've witnessed cheating and this wound has actually happened to them. And that's why Dr. Gabor says that there's no such thing as a vicarious trauma, because the trauma has actually happened to that person. Because if that person, if that child feels the trauma of their parents' relationship in their body, then they will have been traumatized. And it's important to go into their body to help them understand what they're feeling about it and also their beliefs around it. So for all these reasons, you may be finding that it's so difficult to cope with the aftermath of an affair. We've all been wounded and we all have the capacity to heal. And to do this, we must understand what has happened to ourselves. That is why it's so important that people that do decide to come for my affair recovery support program or my individual breakthrough program, that we are not going over the past, that we are actually dealing with the present. And by that, I mean reconnecting to what is present in each of the person's body. What are they feeling about themselves? What are they feeling about the affair? Reconnecting to what is inside so that we can release it, and then we can get rid of any negative thoughts and any negative beliefs about life, about relationships, about trust. And in doing this, a person can reconnect with themselves and their present environment. And when we do that, we can enjoy life. Another tough question people struggle with who have been cheated on is, how can I love myself and give them a second chance at the same time? How can I say I respect myself and forgive them? Aren't they contradictory? In my opinion, and what I share with people with these dilemmas, is that no, this way of thinking is putting themselves into a bind. They're saying it's black and white. It's love myself or give the relationship a chance. And it's not helpful to think about anything in these black and white terms. The key here is to love yourself. To love yourself no matter what. To be kind and gentle with your thoughts about yourself. To look after your mental, physical, and emotional needs. Rest, recuperate, spend time with people that make you feel happy, that make you feel good about yourself. Then see what happens in your relationship. See what actions they take. Are they taking actions to get help? Are they showing you that they love you? Are they showing you that they want you and are willing to make changes? It's for them to take the actions to reassure you and bring your relationship back to a point of safety. And of course, you will need to let them in at some point. Once you've gone through the initial phases that I spoke about in the beginning of the roller coaster of emotions, then make a decision. It's very difficult to see anything clearly when you're really sad one minute, really angry the next minute, want to be close to them the third. Just going through that, it's not a good idea to make any life-changing decisions. So just be so loving to yourself and take the pressure off yourself. Always ask yourself, this is what I do when I get stressed about making decisions. I just say to myself, Nicola, do you need to decide now? Do you need to decide today? And then I think about it and I think, no. So take the pressure off deciding whether you're going to stay in the relationship, leave the relationship. You're already going through so much. Take that pressure off. Say, I'm going to think about that once I get back to my happy, normal, stable self. And if you weren't happy before, then get yourself back to a place where you feel, I feel good about myself. I'm living a life true to myself. I feel confident about my future, no matter what. And I'm going to digest everything that's happened. I'm going to observe my relationship. I'm going to see how my partner acts towards me, what efforts they make. I'm going to listen to their words and their actions and see if their actions meet their words. And then I'll make a decision about what I'm going to do for my future. Right now, I'm not going to pressurize myself to give an answer to anyone. And when you do that, you're really loving and honoring yourself, because your primary focus needs to be on calming your nervous system that may be in a very high state of stress, dealing with any other traumas that it's awakened, that you're not good enough, you're not attractive enough, you're not interesting enough, that you're a fool, that you're stupid. So many people, unfortunately, believe that they are wrong and were wrong to trust blindly, to see the best in their partner, to trust the one person that they agreed to be faithful and committed to. It's so important that you stop beating yourself up for loving and trusting somebody. It's great. It's a caring, wonderful quality to trust somebody, to trust their word, to see the best in them. You are not a fool. You have given the gift of love and trust. You have opened your heart. That is not a negative thing. So all self-attacking thoughts must go. I highly recommend you listen to meditations and positive songs to reset your mind, to lift you up, and to really think about what's important to you in your life. And are you living your best life? Is your health where you want it to be? Do you have career or purpose goals? Do you have good friends, strong relationships with your family or other people that are important to you? And remove any self-attacking thoughts about who you are as a person. Remembering that cheating is always a choice, and it's not a choice that you had any control over. So do not allow yourself to go into self-bashing. Patience and kindness for your own recovery must be given to you by yourself, as well as from your partner. Low self-esteem can really hit people after they've been cheated on. Some feel that they are fat, ugly, too old looking. Others worry about their sexual performance, whether they're interesting enough, and compare their bodies to others. Definitely change this way of thinking. It makes recovery so much harder. I felt disgusting when I was cheated on. I felt I was disgusting. After the heartbreak, I just felt so down. I looked at loads of different things to fix myself. I got addicted to the gym. I barely ate anything. And I looked so much worse for it because I was running on empty. And then I went through a phase where I drank myself to sleep. I'd have a drink every day. And again, the pain hit me harder because not only was I dealing with all of this, in the morning I felt tired and dehydrated and angry at myself for drinking the night before. And I was stuck in this vicious cycle of like self-hate, self-beating up, hurting myself. Like, it was awful. And I remember one day looking in the mirror and I began picking at my own body and saying, look, this needs sorting. And this, you know, your hair looks terrible and your eyes look terrible. Your skin is awful. You know, all these horrible things. I felt so low. And then to help me sleep one night, I put on a self-esteem meditation. And in listening to this meditation, I had that voice come to me. And I don't know whether it was my higher self, whether it was my intuition, but I know it was from the part of me that really loves me. And it said, stop this. Stop hurting yourself. This is not your fault and you are worthy of love. I listened to that and I felt connected to myself again, knowing that actually I know that I have a lot of love to give. I have a lot of gifts to share and the way that I am is perfect. All my imperfections are perfect. This is how I was made and I'm going to be kind to myself. And that had to be my daily focus. And from this, so many things in my life shifted. I felt alive, happy, and I was able to live in the present moment. I did also, back in that time, many years ago, have some deep subconscious body therapy sessions. In fact, that's what led me to be trained in the breakthrough process that I do and the working with the subconscious mind and working with the body all at once, the holistic approach that I use in my breakthrough program, really helped me to shift and to really get rid of those doubts, those thoughts, to get me out of future tripping, worrying about what's going to happen, to get me out of going over the past, to really just live. And living in the present, being in the present moment, is one of the most joyous, positive things we can really experience. When you just enjoy every day, you see every day as a gift. So I do have on my website, nicolabeer.com, the opportunity to download for free my self-esteem and my self-confidence meditation. You can download it. I recommend that you listen to it every day, 3 weeks. It will really start to shift the way that you think. And I also have they're my Living Your Best Life, Self-Confidence Secrets and Self-Esteem Secrets audio program. It's reduced to $97 and it has 16 modules. Go through the modules. It also has over 10 different meditations. And this really helps people to decide how they want to live their life. Look at their values. Look at what's important to you. Look at, are you living your full life? Are you being true to all parts of you? Your creative side, your adventurous side, your playful side, your loving side. We all have so many different sides to us. And to be really happy, we need to be fulfilled and living in these areas. So that's what that course is really about. I get so many great reviews just from that course. So if you're feeling like I need something more than just a meditation, do check that out and see if that could be something that would benefit you right now. Any self-development work is always going to benefit you. Use this as an opportunity to learn about yourself, to learn about what you need and want in a relationship. And I'm not sharing this because it worked for me. It's actually worked for thousands of people that I've seen go through being cheated on. It's really helped couples move forward with love and peace and happiness. It's helped people decide through the Breakthrough Program with me one-to-one, which is 3 2-hour sessions in the same week, to decide, is it right for me to stay or to go? How to get the answer from their mind, their heart and their gut, all working as one. Once we release the fear, release the anger, release the resentment, because all of those can block a person from really seeing what it is that they need and they want in their future. And of course, some couples come together to do the Affair Recovery Program, which is a one-to-one program with me, or as a standalone audio program where I guide couples to work on themselves individually and then work together, work on themselves individually with me and then work on together. And we really focus on the actions that create that love and closeness and rebuild trust, clearing negativity and resentment, really effective communication skills, and aligning values, dreams, and goals. Whatever you decide is the right path for you, make sure that you're doing it for you. You're not doing it because you're scared to be alone. You're scared of the outcome for your children. You're scared that you won't make it financially. That's what I help people to clear, because you want to make a decision that is really best for you. Because once you're happy, those around you will be able to feel your love and happiness, and you'll be really present with them. The last thing I feel it's really important to share with you is that there will be triggers. It could be a movie that triggers you about an affair that's going on, or a song that you hear, or a friend's comment. It could be the look of a stranger in a restaurant over at your table. There could be so many triggers that awaken again this feeling of being unwanted, unloved, that you can't trust, that it's not safe, whatever it is for you. And these triggers are normal. And I'd like to say, because this is how I really view them, and this is how I help people with them, is to see them as an opportunity. Now, you may think that's crazy. How am I going to see these triggers as an opportunity? Well, they are. Because they're a sign and a signal to you that there's pain there. There's an emotion in your body and your mind that needs to be cleared. Whether it needs to be cleared in a therapy session, whether it needs to be voiced, you need to speak up and tell your partner, whether it's that you need some comfort, you need reassurance, you need more love, attention. Understanding the trigger is an opportunity. So be curious. Where is this coming from? What do I feel that maybe I need to acknowledge? What needs to be addressed here? What do I perhaps need to ask for? And for some people that I work with, they write them all down. And then when we have a session, we go through 3 or 4, sometimes even 5 to 7 triggers that in one session. Clear them all, learn from them all. And it's a real eye-opening opportunity. And please don't think for a moment that because you got angry or you felt fear again, that you've gone backwards in your recovery. It's a journey. Some difficult moments will crop up and then they will go again. And if you find it's really hard for you to let go and be yourself in your relationship because of these triggers, then do give yourself the gift of clearing these triggers with a specialist. If you'd like to find out more about my breakthrough program for individuals to clear unwanted thoughts and emotions like fear, sadness, anxiety, hurt, guilt, feel free to find the information by going to my website, nicolabeer.com. And you can also, on that website, book a call with me. And if you want to find out more about the couples program, working with me one-to-one, the Affair Recovery audio program, or to get my free self-confidence meditation that I mentioned, just go to nicolabeer.com, or you can email me nb@nicolabeer.com, or send me a WhatsApp. My number is on my website. You're more than welcome to WhatsApp me and I'll get you the information, whatever information it is that you would like to have. And also, please do join the Facebook group. You're welcome there. Lots of people post their questions to the group and many people answer based on their own viewpoint, experiences, what's worked well, what hasn't worked well, and many people find comfort in helping others in the group and also receiving that help and different ideas and suggestions. From my heart to yours, thank you so much for listening. You do not need to go alone in your recovery journey. Know that you are worth it. Know that you deserve to be happy, to live in the present moment, to enjoy every single day. And with that love for yourself and that determination and that patience for yourself, you can get there. I never thought I would get to a point where I could be happy every day. And I'm happy every day, not because of external things, not because of money or anything outside of me. I'm happy because I'm enjoying every interaction I have with every one of my clients. I'm enjoying when I get a trigger, learning from that, maybe also going deeper into that in myself and my body and finding out about that, in showing up each day, aiming to be the best version of myself. I get so much joy from looking after my health, exercising daily, meditating daily, setting my intention, reflecting. These small things, being in nature, are what make me truly happy. And I'm so grateful that I found this not at the end of my life. So many people I help are so focused on feeling good about themselves by getting love from other people or waiting until they've got a $5 million home with a lake somewhere or this car or this house or this. And they really miss the opportunity focusing on future happiness, because the joy can be with you right now, right here, right today. Take care of yourself. Lots of love. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Relationship and Wellness Podcast with Nicola Beer. Check out the award-winning audio programs. Visit www.nicolabeer.com today.